Bet on Bears fans, another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. Pat the Designer here on a Friday. Listen, a lot to get into. We want to talk with you. Mailbag episode. A lot of you guys sent in questions, so we want to get to as many of these questions as we can. Also, got to start it off by asking you all the question. Is the rebuild over? Listen. You have to sit here and really ask yourself, how far along are we in this thing? How much more do the Bears need? What are the expectations? All that and more on today's episode of the Chicago Bears podcast. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. Appreciate you guys for tuning in as always, man. I'm solo on today. For part of it, I should say. We'll get our producer, Eric Ostrowski, in here in a minute. But I want to ask you all this question to start things off. Because I think that this is a very, it almost changes the way that you approach this season mentally to me. Is the Chicago Bears rebuild over? Has Ryan Poles done enough to put you in a winning situation? And that's, I think that's where a lot of people, right? Because I know people are going to sit here and say, Pat, you know, I don't think we're there. I think we're 70% there. And drop the percentage that you think we are. We're 70% there, 50% there, 60% there, blah, blah, blah. But I haven't heard a Bears fan yet who has come to me or has commented on these videos or has sat there and looked at what the team has and said, no, I expect the Bears to lose more games than they win this season. And we can't get it twisted on when your rebuild ends. Your rebuild ends when your window opens. Your rebuild does not end when you win a championship. I think because, you know, we watched how the Cubs did it, right? The end of the rebuild just so happened to coincide with pretty much their first World Series. And because of that, you sit there and you're like, well, you got to win so many games. You got to get to the playoffs. I think that your rebuild is over when your team is perceived to be one of the better teams in the NFL. And if you look at how a lot of people are ranking the Bears right now, power rankings, different things like that, people are saying that the Chicago Bears are a pretty good football team and that this window is opening up. Now, I know everything is on paper, but but the expectation is not going to change on Caleb Williams. The expectation is not going to change on, you know, what this season is supposed to be. You're supposed to take steps in the right direction. I haven't heard a lot of people sit there and go, I think the Bears are an 8-win team. Most of the people that I've seen have talked about the Bears being a 9-10-win team heading into next year. Why? Because of the schedule that also plays a major part into it, but also just the fact that the roster that you have is not a roster that is a 3-4 year rebuild roster right now. The roster that you have right now with the right quarterback in place, and if Caleb Williams is that, which many people believe, I think the expectation should be high on that. Then I think that your rebuild is done. I think that Ryan Poles has put you in an excellent position coming into this season to have the talent to win a ton of games. Now, it doesn't mean you're going to win the Super Bowl. Doesn't mean that they're going to sit here and they're going to breeze their way through the playoffs. But what it does mean, is that the expectation is at a minimum to get to the playoffs. So if our expectation is to get to the playoffs, ladies and gentlemen, in my mind, your rebuild is done. Now, I don't want you to think that that means that building your team is done. And we also want to make sure that you guys know that today's episode is brought to you by the Hard Rock Casino in Northern Indiana. And make sure we hit those sponsors there. Appreciate all the people over at the Hard Rock Casino, man, always supporting the podcast, always showing love. Las Vegas-style gaming, just 30 minutes from Soldier Field. Exit says right off of I-80-94. Just because I believe that the rebuild is done does not believe that I believe that you're done adding pieces. Guess what? You still need a defensive end. I've got some questions at your 3 technique right now. I'm looking at the center, and I'm saying you got to prove it to me. But at a minimum, it seems like Ryan Poles has put you in a position where starting the season, people believe that there's going to be growth at those positions than there was last season. People believe Ryan Bates is going to be better, or and Coleman Shelton are going to be better than what we saw last year in Lucas Patrick and Cody Whitehair. At a minimum, if we can just get them to snap and block, that'd be phenomenal. I'm not looking at this and telling you that you have a 100% team, but I would also look at you and tell you that no NFL team has a 100% team. The teams that we say are probably the closest to being 100%, a lot of those didn't even make it that far in the playoffs. Right? Like, I mean, I think a lot of people would have looked at Philly last year and said that's as close to 100% as you can get. Now San Francisco makes the Super Bowl. That's as close to 100% as you can get. Guess what San Francisco didn't do? They didn't win the Super Bowl. But I can look at that team that stood across from them. Let's be real. I understand. And this is also a big part of it too, right? The quarterback changes everything. Because that Kansas City team that went into the Super Bowl last season, I'd probably say you had about 75% of your pieces that you felt like were, hey, I'm locked in at this. This is a top piece right here. This is a piece that gets me there. But your quarterback makes up for a lot of that. And that's the other thing, too. We can sit here and talk about the rebuild being over because Caleb Williams is going to be here. It is what it is. He's here no matter what. You're riding through the next 3 to 4 years with Caleb Williams as your quarterback, and hopefully he's absolutely phenomenal, and we're sitting here dominating day in and day out. But his success will also dictate how far into the rebuild you are. His ability to hit the ground running will also dictate how far into the rebuild you are. But that piece is not changing. That piece is not going to be different next season. That piece is not going to be different 2 seasons from now. So you're locked in with whatever Caleb Williams is. And he has to find a way to find success with this team that I think if you put any other quarterback, let's just take the NFC North. The other 3 quarterbacks in the NFC North, you feel like you're competing for a lot of games this season. Maybe Sam Darnold's the exception. Maybe. But even with that, like you look at Sam Darnold getting on the field with Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, DeAndre Swift, Roma Dunze. You got Gerald Everett, Cole Kmet, Roshan Johnson. Like, how's he going to – like, I'm not going to lie. I don't know how bad he's going to be in freaking Minnesota. We're sitting here talking about J.J. McCarthy. Like, J.J. McCarthy's just going to waltz in, and that's going to be his job no matter what. I think they probably want him to sit for a little while. I think they probably want him to learn. I think they don't want to rush him into anything. Every team would like to have a scenario that is the Green Bay Packers scenario, right? Where you got a quarterback in place and you go, yeah, you're good enough, but now you need to move in the right direction. So we're going to go to this other quarterback. But tell me, how's it going to be difficult for Sam Darnold to fail? Long as you re-sign everybody, I mean, you got Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, T.J. Hockenson. Who's the running back? They had Aaron Jones is on that team now. You know what I mean? Like you got dogs there. You replaced Danielle Hunter in the draft. You know what I'm saying? So like, I think that there's a difference between waiting for your window to open and having the team that is ready to go out there and win. Is the Chicago Bears window open right now? We got to wait to hit the field to see that, right? You got to see, okay, kind of where's Caleb Williams at? How's this going to go, blah, blah, blah. I can't guarantee you that Caleb's window is open right now. But what I can guarantee you is that for the most part, this team's window should be open. I got weapons everywhere. And even looking at defensively, right? Yeah, we've got some questions on this defense, but I'll tell you right now, DeMarcus Walker was better with Montez Sweat in there for 7 games. If we do end up re-signing Yannick Ngakoue was absolutely better with Montez Sweat in there for the little time that they had together, right? We saw Javon Dexter get better with Sweat in there. So, like, we're sitting here, we're saying, oh, this defensive line, you have to find these other pieces. Who's going to rush? It's not like they don't have guys. It's just not the guys we want. It's not that they don't have options. It's just not the options we want. And I commend Ryan Poles for that, man. You can't fix everything in one offseason. You've got a room littered with DBs that seem to be uber talented. I would say we probably have the best group of DBs for sure in the NFC North. I'm almost willing to say in the NFL. A really, really good group of DBs. You got a solid linebacking core right now. I love TJ Edwards. Really like what Tremaine Edmonds can be. Y'all saw the vlog. If you didn't see the vlog, check that out. But he is massive. He was like leaning over trying to talk to me. And he was still towering over me, leaning over to try and talk to me. I'm not small. I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, I'm 6'3". I'm not small. You know what I mean? I feel like I'm normal size for an adult man. But you've got so many pieces already in place. I think it's tough for me to say that this Chicago Bears window is not opening for the team. Now, when Caleb Williams is ready, that's a different thing. And the reason I say that is because Tom Brady's window did not open with the Patriots until after he had won a couple of Super Bowls already. Was Tom Brady good? For sure. Was he Tom Patrick Brady? No, not yet. That was the run game. It was the defense. Those first what? First two Super Bowls, probably? Probably your first two Super Bowls with Tom Brady. He's you know, he's the, hey, listen, you're pretty good. Don't screw it up, guy. You know what I mean? Don't put us in a situation where we're going to be struggling in this. And then he becomes the Tom Brady, the GOAT that we all know him to be. So your team's window can be open and your quarterback's window can just be beginning. And I think that's a situation that the Bears have right here. Now, I would hope that it works out the exact same way. I'll also say this. The rebuild being over, like I said earlier, is not predicated on championships because guess what? Every team can't win the Super Bowl. There's teams right now that their window is open and they don't have a Super Bowl title to their name. Heck, the Bills' window has been open for it's probably heading towards closing now. With some of the interesting moves that they've made. My God. Just giving the Chiefs players. What the heck's going on there? You want to have Patrick Mahomes and then we'll give you the best weapon that's probably going to kill us for games for years to come? Yeah, here you go. You could have added that to your team. I'm just saying. I'm not. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, if the Chiefs want him, he's probably pretty good. You could have added that to your team. Just saying. After you got rid of Stephon Diggs. But let me know how you guys feel, man. Let me know how you guys feel in the comments below. I'll be down there talking with you guys as well. Y'all know I'll be in these comments, man. I love it when Muzz be trying to get spicy and think I'm not going to jump in the comments. That's my favorite thing in the world. I'm always looking, always watching, ever vigilant, because I do like having the conversation with you guys. This is not just me talking into a camera, even though it is literally just me talking into a camera. But I like having a conversation with Bears fans, no matter what side of the fence we're on, right? No matter how we want to get the team built, we all want to win a championship. Let's go get some Super Bowl. Shout out to Ryan Poles and the job that he's done. I mean, we just paid attention to this yesterday over on the Windy City Breeze, and I didn't realize this, but Ryan Poles, even with the Keenan Allen deal, has this thing set up perfectly. Like, I love the job that he's doing at GM, and we're going to get to the mailbag here in a second, but I love the job he's doing at GM. I just got a shout about on this because by the Bears trading for Keenan Allen, we were all sitting there. We're like, yo, wait a minute. Like, you know, you gave a fourth-round pick. The conversation we were having was, is it a failure if you end up letting him walk? I forgot that we get the comp pick. We get the compensation pick for Keenan Allen if at the end of the season we end up letting him leave. We traded a fourth-round pick for him. We get a season of Keenan Allen in here. And if I'm not mistaken, y'all double-check me in the chat. I have no problems admitting that I'm wrong if I am. But if I'm not mistaken, I believe that comp pick is a third-round pick.
Depends on money. It's third or fourth, depends on
right, yeah.
He gets in his next deal.
But if he finishes out there, that was Eric Ostrowski. I don't know if y'all can hear him. He basically said depends on money. But it would be based on this deal. If we let him walk off of this deal, he's getting $18 million this year. I think it's a third round comp. I think Ryan Poles might have pulled off another masterful future move for the Chicago Bears. So I traded a fourth And if I'm not mistaken, I believe he at worst he gets his pick back. At worst he gets his pick back. What a phenomenal way to GM. And what excites me about that is your future, right? Because there's going to come a point where, listen, first things first, you have to make the tough decisions. You have to piss off your fan base to stay relevant, right? You're going to have to get rid of some players that people love. It happens. It is what it is, right? There's going to come a time where we're sitting there and we're like, how can you not re-sign DJ Moore? That's the NFL. I hope that that time doesn't come, but more than likely, right, that's kind of how the league works. You get to a point where it's like, okay, your value is not where we value at, where we appreciate everything that you've brought. We shake your hand. We let you walk away. I don't think that time's coming anytime soon. But one, he has the stones to be able to do that. He has no problems doing that. We saw that this offseason with a lot of the moves that he made. And on top of that, he's a future thinker. This guy's thinking like 3 years in advance already. We're sitting here focused on the trade for Keenan Allen right now, and if we got to re-sign him, but if he walks, we had a third-round pick, fourth-round pick, and now you just traded a fourth-round pick to get a fifth-round pick to go get Austin Booker that you will probably get a better pick or the same pick back next season. That's the kind of guy that flips teams multiple times. That's the kind of guy that keeps you in championship hunt. That's the kind of guy that how Pat Mahomes is still winning Super Bowls. That's that kind of GM. Oh, and by the way, they just gave him another freaking weapon in Xavier Worthy. So he may be able to start it all over again. And they're going to have to, listen, Kelce just got two more years. Hey, listen, Kelce, stick around, baby. Show us that you still got it. But we're not giving you five. You got to, you know what I mean? You got to come to terms. You got to start to understand what your, you know, what your window is. And I think how the Chiefs have built this dynasty and run it back, run it back, run it back. I think the Bears are heading towards something like that. And that absolutely excites me, man. Let me know how you guys feel in the comments below. Thoughts on Poles and the job that he's done. Thoughts on is this rebuild over? You guys let me know in the comments below. Now we got to get into the mailbag portion of the show where we get to hear from you guys, your questions dropped here. We're going to be doing this every Friday. Normally, Yurko will be here, so this will be a lot more fun because I can't even imagine some of the answers he would be giving to some of these questions. But let's jump into the mailbag. Mailbag portion of the show is here. Pat the Designer, Eric Ostrowski. We got him in front of the camera. I like it.
It's way more comfortable on the other side.
Yeah. Are you a little thrown off right now?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, you get the bright lights on you. You feel a certain way
that's
sometimes.
All right, man.
You know?
Show the Toby Maguire, dog. That's Let the people see it. Emo Toby is here. Let's jump into it, man. You got some mailbag questions for us. Let's do them.
Yep. So every Thursday and Friday morning, we're going to shoot out a tweet. You can comment on this video, and we'll go back, and we'll look at them and pull them next week. But every week, just shoot us some questions. So we got a few on Twitter, a few on Instagram, a few on Facebook. So
let's do it.
What's the one position you regret us not drafting if this whole punter Torrey Taylor thing doesn't work out?
If the punter, first off, it's punting, right? Like, it's not going to be that big of a difference.
Yeah, but like, it can not work out. What if he's what we had last year? That's not working out.
Wasn't that the whole point? Like, his Australian football background, like, he kicked in, like, the freaking Gold Coast or whatever. I don't know what it was, like, where he was playing Australian football, but he kicked an inclement weather. I don't know. If it doesn't work, I believe it's going to work out. I don't think punting from college to Australia changes, to NFL right, changes right. that much. But I would probably say center because Cedric Van Pran was on the board there, and I was a big go-get-the-center guy. You got your left tackle, build the lineup, develop this young kid. A fourth-round center. We've seen those guys be uber successful in the NFL. That would be the one for me, I guess, if I was worried about anything, because you got Austin Booker later. Yeah, yeah. I mean, trading back in and getting the fifth was genius to me.
Getting that pass rusher where they got seems like the pick. So, like, kind of a sub-question off of his question about the whole punter thing not working out. Do you think that center is the biggest hole on the roster right now?
I think it's the biggest question mark because realistically he addressed it with two centers. Coleman right. Shelton's fine.
Okay. How about, all right. So question mark, do you think it's the biggest need? Cause that, I guess that's a two different questions.
That depends on Ryan Bates. There that absolutely depends on, cause I mean, listen, if he's good, he's 27. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So if he's good, you got 5-6 years of this guy being that guy. Yeah, I mean, I'm not mad at that. But I, you know, everybody's like, I had somebody, they were like, because I said 150 snaps at center doesn't tell me you're starting center. And like, everybody I've seen after I said that was just like, but I watched the 150 snaps, which I'm calling a lot of y'all. Yeah. I'm not buying it.
I think some
of y'all did, but I don't know about all of y'all. But I watched these snaps, and he was phenomenal at center. It's like, okay, I hear you. But it's different when you got to do it every single play, and you don't get to come out of there. He was the backup center at most, and you don't get to leave being the starting center. So it's my biggest question mark, but I'm going to ride with Ryan Poles on it. He said Ryan Bates is his guy, and we'll see if that's going to be the case.
I think my biggest question mark and need is everyone all last season kept talking about what's the most important position on this type of defense, this game,
three technique.
Yeah,
Jervon.
We're breaking on Jervon Dexter. Are we sure about that? Do we know that? We don't know that, but that's what Eberflus seems to have put his money on in that position.
Well, who was the three technique that was there, I believe, was gone already. His name is escaping me.
That's the one thing is I can't tell you who's on the board and who wasn't. But that's the one
He ended up going ahead of, I think he went, I want to say he went like 3 or 4 picks before we ended up taking the punter. So, I mean, if your guy's not on the board, don't just swing at anything.
Right, don't just hit position to hit position.
And Jervon's a second round pick. Like you can't go into next season and say, yeah, we gave up. Like,
right, this guy already.
Sucks. Yeah,
right,
I mean, so.
All right, next question from Caleb Williams Sour Gummy something.
Shout out to Caleb Williams Sour Gummy.
He's got thoughts. When are we resigning King Poles?
When are we resigning King Poles? Where are we even at in this contract?
The answer to this question is the Bears don't tell us.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't even know where we're at in this contract.
We don't even know when the coaches get extended. So, like, if he could have been extended through 2035 already, we would have no idea.
This is so weird. Like, I don't get this either. Like, this is such a weird thing to me that we just don't talk about how long people are, like, with a team. Like, Billy Donovan was here. I know it's Bulls and it's different. Billy Donovan got an extension. The only reason we found out how long the extension was because we thought he was going to leave to go to Kentucky.
Right, and they're like, no, he's under contract.
They're like, no, we got him for 2 years. And it was like, 2 years? Wait a minute. You know what I mean? So, like, that is – I have no idea. Like, I'll tell you this. This is the McCaskies. They love Ryan. He's not going anywhere. I'm not worried in the slightest. We had Jerry Angelo far too long.
I was gonna say, one thing in my lifetime is the front office of the Bears, if they like you, they keep you. Ask Ted Phillips and his trust fund.
Absolutely. No, yeah, I'm not worried about anybody leaving outside of, you know, some of the chicanery that we saw last year with like the DC stuff. We still don't know half of that story. I mean, but apparently Peanut Tillman rappelled into the building and George cried.
Just Mission Impossible.
I wanted to ask him about that on the podcast so bad. But I was like, I'm going to probably leave it alone. Right, like, but I wanted to ask him about that so bad. If we get him back on, I'm going to ask him, be like, so what were your thoughts when you found out you rappelled into like Matt Eberflus's office and had to break the news to George and like, he cried and tore sackcloth and poured ashes over his head. Like,
what is your reaction when people are texting you like, yo, what were you at? Like, he had to have just rolled his eyes and be like, why? Because I have a little bit to do with the FBI. You're automatically assuming it's people are ridiculous. All right. Next question. Most playoff teams, especially the ones that end up making it to the championship rounds, stuff like that, have an elite tight end. Can Cole Kmet be an elite tight end?
Elite. So I don't know if Cole Kmet can be elite. I don't think that Cole Kmet can be elite. No, I think we saw who he is.
Yeah, I don't think
he can. Which is fine. Yeah. I think he is a very, very good tight end. He will be one of those guys that 30 years from now, we'll say Cole Kmet was absolutely
solid.
Mm-hmm. Like, he was a good draft pick to go get. I think Cole Kmet is 750, 800 yards guy. And I will say this. A lot of what we saw, because Cole, what touchdowns last year? What, five?
I can't remember the number.
Five or six, something like that.
I bet you doubles that.
I would not be surprised if he doubled that. Which, because as much as it sucks, right, Justin just didn't throw it to him in the end zone.
Nope.
So I would not be surprised if I see Cole Kmet over the middle get a ton of yards with Caleb. And I'll say this. Maybe Caleb using him as a safety blanket turns him into one of those 1,100, 1,200-yard guys. I don't know if I see that, but it'd be interesting. What do we call elite, though?
Right. So, like
– like, for me, elite's like freaking Travis Kelce's, like 16 yards per catch.
I think
– like, Cole Kmet's like –
I think irregardless of numbers, Cole Kmet's not elite. He's too sticky. He does not shake like DBs.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have yak. Like, he'll never get –
that's my thing.
He'll never get that 1,200 yards because he's not really slipping tackles too often.
Right.
Great hands, super sure, can catch the ball in traffic, which is good because he's in traffic because he's not shaking the guy. But I think the big play and that type of thing is why he's not elite. But in this offense, there's a damn good chance he leads this offense in touchdowns
100%.
Because of just the scheme and the weapons outside that are everywhere.
No, yeah, 100%. I think Ryan Poles signing him looks like a very good move now. A little expensive, but looks like a good move because I agree with you. I think he can be a 12, 13 touchdown guy by the end of the year.
So this was a statement. Do you believe this statement? Came through on Twitter. The offense has tons and tons of weapons, probably the best we've seen here in Chicago in quite some time, but it still only goes as far as the O-line.
Of course. With a caveat.
Yep.
I do agree. You have to have the offensive line. I feel that way now because I don't know what Caleb is.
Yep. There's an if. There's dudes.
Because I'm watching dudes do this.
Patrick Mahomes, not a good offensive
name
line.
Name his tackles.
Joe Burrow, not a good offensive line.
Now, I think I agree with you 100% with that. And that's why the offensive line long-term takes this offense places, because Joe Burrow's dead, like, every year.
Seriously. Broken
like,
down.
He's not going to have a long career. He's going to have a – this guy was elite when he was on the field, but they couldn't keep him on the field. He's not going to have a good career. He's never had tackles. Now, they're trying. They're trying. Who'd they just sign? They just signed a big guy opposite of Brown. So, I mean, they added a tackle this offseason, solid tackle, but like that's more my concern. I don't want Caleb to deal with that. Now, Joe Burrow's also a statue. So,
And that's like that statement. It can't be a blanket statement in the NFL anymore. No. I think from let's say 2010 prior, that was a pretty true statement. Like Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, there's very few guys, and that was just because they got the ball out before it mattered. But I don't think that that is a statement that is clearly across the NFL anymore. Just the way the offense is spread out and like that.
And the mobility of quarterbacks. Listen, Pat, like we always – all the numbers that people throw about Justin Fields or about, you know, like the mobile quarterbacks that hold the football, like it's everybody now. All these mobile guys. Like Pat Mahomes holds the football too long.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like Jalen Hurts holds the football too long. And we talk about these guys as two of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, right? Unless you're a statue, like Justin Herbert gets rid of the ball quick. Joe Burrow gets rid of the ball quick. Like, but when you're mobile and you can create something great, there is a lot. You still need your offensive line, 200%, especially if it's like, I need to make a pass here and I need to let a play develop. But I do think that you can't sit there and say, just blanket, like, if the offensive line has some hope. Right. If Nate Davis is mediocre, the Bears fail this season. I don't believe that.
Right. No, I don't either.
Because like
Tevin Jenkins has injury issues this season and plays 7 games total. It's the Bears season in the tank. I don't think so.
I don't think so because you won 7 games last year with the same thing.
Right. Right. All right, next question. I know your answer to this question. I'm probably sure every fan of the show knows the answer to this one.
Oh, boy. Is it
which
a running back
player
question?
Drafted this year outside of the first round will have the greatest impact on the Bears?
Like all time or just this season?
Just career-wise.
Career?
Yeah.
I'm gonna go Austin Booker. Yep. Yeah. Most people probably knew that. It's the underutilization, but the production from it. He was utilized for less than 500 snaps, and he got 8 sacks out of it. Although PFF says 9. I don't know where PFF is getting the extra one. I went back and watched it. I was like, no, it's 8 sacks. I don't know if maybe they're counting a half sack. A
couple halves put together.
You know what I mean? And maybe somebody else isn't giving them. But elite production. And here's the thing, at worst, right, because people talk about, well, you know, is he, if he was situational, he's a situational pass rusher, he'll probably be a situational pass rusher here. Guess what? Yannick Ngakoue is a situational pass rusher.
Right.
Yannick Ngakoue is 9 sacks a season. If you just got Yannick Ngakoue with the 5th pick in the draft.
It's pretty damn cool.
Or with the a 5th-round pick. You did a great job. You know what I mean? So, like, I think that Austin Booker is going to be special for this Bears team in the 5th round, and I'm very excited to see what he's going to be. The punter's going to be cool, too, I guess. He's going to be cool.
He could be.
He's going to be one of those guys. I've said this, right? Like, we played – I don't remember what team it was last year, but I remember – maybe it was Minnesota. Like, it was one of those games where there was a lot of punts.
Yeah.
And I just kept going, this dude's punting the heck out of the ball.
I mean, it can be impressive.
It
can,
like, it literally, like, he's going to be one of those guys where it's like, this is fairly impressive. Like, he's punting the heck out of that ball.
All right. So I have two more questions. I was going to save this punter one for last, but I'll do it now. Here. All right. This one's from me. Ryan Poles talks about multipliers a lot. That seems to be his catchphrase. Montez Sweat's a multiplier. Yeah. Keenan Allen's a multiplier. DJ Moore's a multiplier. Can a punter, who he said is a multiplier, can a punter be a multiplier? Because I think his definition of multipliers is he lifts those around him on the team. Like, Montez Sweat is going to make Gervin Dexter a better three technique. He's going to make whoever is on the opposite side of that end a better pass rusher. Is a punter a multiplier?
Yes. Because have you ever seen a defense more confident than when you kick a punt and it goes out at the one?
That's literally why one of the things Ryan Poles said McAfee interview was, this dude's going to pin people inside the 10 and our defense is going to pin their ears.
And they're going to lose their minds at how many opportunities they're going to. Yes, a punter can be a multiplier. All multiplication is not the same, though.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Right, exactly.
There's 10 times 10, there's 2 times 2. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like he's more of a 2 times 2 guy because the defense has to then go out there and absolutely eviscerate. I think that this is the other thing too, right? I think people think like the other team doesn't play.
That's pretty common. You know what I mean? The other team definitely doesn't have a professional athlete.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like, oh, well, we're going to be pinning guys at the 5 every time. And it's like, well, what if they, like, go forward?
Yeah. And what if they catch the punt, you know? You know what I mean? And then proceed in that direction.
Or what if the offense gains yards? You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like people are just like, he's going to be pinned and they're going to lie down and die. So I implore people to, like, I'm so sick. I'm on my timeline the other day. I'm like, we still haven't punter debate.
Yeah, we are.
Punter's here, dog.
We are.
It's fine. Like, listen, no matter what side you're on, it's a punter. Let's stop talking about I've never talked about a punter so much in my life.
It's quite entertaining. This question is actually from my pops.
Okay.
Who's very upset about this 4th-round punt thing. And I was bringing up the same argument as you, how he can multiply on the defense and stuff like that with them being pinned up. His response is, well, then the fans are multipliers because they're loud when the team's backed up in the end zone.
I would agree with that, though. I would agree with that because Seattle used to destroy teams. Like, the Seattle fan base legitimately, like, it was like, we got to go to the silent count. And, like, Muggs just would not know what they were doing.
And like you said, every multiplier is different. So, like, if you
– so got, 1 times 2.
If you got Patrick Mahomes at quarterback, it's not much of a multiple player. You got a rookie, Drake Mays, walking out there, and your crowd's all hectic and crazy.
And the building shaking.
Yeah.
Like, I've been in those stadiums where you're just like – for me, it was always basketball state. But, like, I went to, like, a Derrick Rose playoff game.
Yeah.
The UC used to vibrate.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nothing would be happening. And it would just be like – and you're like, what the heck is going on in here? What is this energy? Like, is so, yes, I do think the fans can also be multipliers. But again, 1 times 2. Yeah, I'd say punters 2 times 2. I'd say your defense pinning their ears back. If they can get that, that's 10 times 10.
Right. Cool. All right, last question. It's a tough question. So both Kyler and Brisker, 3rd year. Which one, if you had to re-sign one first, who are you putting the money towards first?
Jaquan Brisker. It's not even a question to me. I love Kyler, but I've seen guys step into Kyler's spot and have good production. We've gone years. Like, legit, I'd say since Mike Brown.
Yeah.
Like, Jaquan Brisker's the first strong side safety since Mike Brown that I look at and I'm like, Yeah, he's like, he'll kill people.
Yeah, he's all over the place.
He's like, no matter what you need him to do, interceptions, sacks, coverage. Like, Jaquan Brisker is elite. And so I love Kyler. I think Kyler's really good. But this isn't even a tough question for me, because when you don't have that backside safety, you're in trouble. You know what I mean? Like, we've seen that, right? We've seen the Chris Contes of the world. You know what I mean?
How many concussions did that guy end up having? Like,
I don't know.
73?
I don't know what his mindset. Remember, like, when they started doing, like, the player safety stuff, and he was like, I only know how to play one way, and if I die on this field, like, it's like, all right, dog. Like,
I think he said what a lot of athletes believe. He just said it out loud to the media.
I agree, but it's one of those things where, like, Ray Lewis saying that, but playing football the right way of, like, I'm going to be alive after this. Is different than, like, Chris Conte launching himself as a missile, being completely in the wrong coverage.
Oh, yeah. And
launching himself as a missile.
Right.
Yeah, you know I mean, and just, like, throwing his head at it. Like, I don't, you know what I mean, like, that's the, what was old boy that hit Antonio Brown? Vontaze Burfict?
Yep.
That's that mindset. I can't subscribe to that line of thinking, like, no, I get, like, you'll live and die for this game, but, like, let's not do the die part.
Let's leave the die part out. As far as the Brisker and Kyler conversation, I actually think Kyler's position is more important on the football field as that slot corner. Just, you're on the field more than 60% of the time now, and you have a lot of hard covers. But I think Brisker, like you said, is elite, is so high-end talent at that position that makes him more of an important signing than Kyler.
Yeah.
If Kyler was if they were at the same level as in who they are at their position, then I sign Kyler first, because that position to me is more important. But Brisker's that much better, in my opinion.
But I think the Bears have also shown such a good ability.
They have found those guys.
I'm not going to lie to you. What's old boy we signed out of Troy this year? Did we pay Reddy Stewart?
Yeah.
Out of Troy?
Uh-huh. Yep.
A dog. Undersized. A little undersized. But absolutely a dog. I was sitting there, how does this thing get drafted? Like, what were people looking at that you didn't see talent in it? So, like, I think the Bears, for whoever's scouting that position group, elite.
Yeah.
Make sure they are never fired, because we will have DBs for years.
God, it's such a young room, too. It's incredible.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's awesome.
And the part I love is, listen, it's young. We appreciate the guys we have. We love them, but we're going to take one every single year.
Yep. That's one thing. Bruce always talks about, you can't have enough DBs.
Can't have enough DBs. That's all we got?
That's all I got.
All right. Hey, man, let us know. If you guys have any more questions, drop them in the chat below. We'll answer them next week on the Friday Mailbag. I think the Friday Mailbag is going to be something that's a lot of fun. Love hearing from you guys. For Eric Ostrowski, sitting in, the producer. He's the hardest working man in the business right now. I'm Pat the Designer, back at it again. Y'all stay safe out there in Chicago. Bear Don, one love. Let us know your thoughts in the comments below. Peace.